Correa. Can he beat the goalkeeper and seal it? Yes, he can! Atletico Madrid are heading for the last 16 of the UEFA Champions League.
Well, Atletico find a way once again to reach the Champions League round of 16. Porto and Milan go out in a dramatic conclusion to Group B. We break down how it unfolded. Real Madrid, meanwhile, conquer Inter to win Group D. We see Mbappe and Messi magic, more Haller and Haaland goals, and some sensational strikes from Salah and Asensio. It's all to come on Match Day Live. Hello from me, Rob Daly. The group stage of the Champions League is nearly done. Just one more night to go, but the fates of eight teams are guaranteed now after Tuesday's action in the UEFA Champions League. Tonight I'm joined by commentators Richard Kaufman and Chris Parrott, as well as former Spurs defender and captain Jenna Scalacci. Jenna, you were on commentary for Porto against Atletico, and that threw up loads of drama.
Yeah, it absolutely did. Second half, it had everything. You know, I think for me, at the beginning of the match, I spoke about Atletico Madrid having the players to punish, you know, attacking players to cause a problem. And second half, I thought Griezmann was excellent. It was at the heart of everything that was good from Atletico Madrid. The first goal, he was dropping into pockets. He was really causing problems. And the more he had the ball, the more dangerous they looked.
And Richard, I don't really know how it finished 3-1, to be honest.
Are we talking red cards or are we talking about goals? No, I'm not sure either, to be honest, either. It was the first half was very nervy, edgy, not much happening. And the second half was the complete opposite.
And Chris Parrott was across AC Milan against Liverpool. Liverpool winning again, Chris, to break Milan's hearts.
Yeah, and a big win for Milan might have actually been enough given what happened in that match that Richard and Jenna were watching. They took the lead. In truth, Liverpool were the better team. They were the more experienced team. And a bit more Champions League history for that wonderful English club, because they've now become the first English team to win all six of their group matches. That's never happened before, so a bit of history for Liverpool in the competition.
OK, well, here are how all of Match Day 6, Tuesday's results finished in Group A. RB Leipzig 2, Manchester City 1, Leipzig going into the Europa League. City already won the group. Paris Saint-Germain were going to finish second and beat Club Brugge 4-1. 2 for Mbappe, 2 for Messi, more on that shortly. In Group B, Porto 1, Atletico 3, AC Milan 1, Liverpool 2, as we just heard. Group C was all done and dusted. Dortmund finishing third, beat Besiktas 5-0. Ajax, who'd already won the section, beat Sporting, who were guaranteed to finish second by 4-2, and Real Madrid in Group D beat Inter 2-0 to win their group. Shakhtar 1, Sheriff 1. Sheriff going out of the Champions League. Sheriff, though, knowing that they're going into the Europa League, were still fighting late into the closing moments of that one in Ukraine and got their equaliser deep into added time and celebrated wildly too. But let's begin in Group B for those two crucial matches in Portugal and Italy. Here's how the drama unfolded.
Cold, rainy day in Porto as knockout football comes to the group stages of the UEFA Champions League.
So here we go. Mo Salah kicks things off at a rocking San Siro. 28 minutes gone, and it's going to be swung in here by Messi as towards the near post, flicked on by Romagnoli, and touched home. Milan have the goal they so desperately wanted. It's Fikeo Tomori, who could not miss. Mannion with the save, it drops back for Salah, who scores on the rebound. A massive goal in this section, and the immediate response from Liverpool. 20 goals for the season for Mo Salah.
Comes the corner now for Atletico Madrid, and at the far post is Griezmann, who had an open goal, and it was the simplest of finishes. is, and Atletico Madrid have what could be a priceless goal.
It's a great ball, right into the danger area. That's where you want your set pieces to fall.
All given away by Tomori, and Mane's in here. Manuel with a brilliant save, but it's headed home by Divock Origi. A hammer blow to Milan's chances of reaching the last 16.
Angel Correa, can he beat the goalkeeper and seal it? Yes, he can! Atletico Madrid are heading for the last 16 of the UEFA Champions League. De Paul, Griezmann, De Paul scores 3-0. That is that. It's Sergio Oliveira against Jan Oblak. Oliveira finds the corner, but there'll be little celebration. They have a goal back, but that is all. Porto 1, Atletico Madrid 3.
Well, you heard all of Richard Jenner and Chris there, and they join me now to analyse exactly what happened in Group B. I mean, Chris, for starters, it didn't disappoint. You had one point where Milan were going through. I mean, every single team that was possible to finish second did have a spell in second at one point on the night.
Yeah, they did, and they really believed at San Siro. Remember, Milan are going great guns in Serie A. They are top of the table as of the weekend, and they came in against a Liverpool team who made 8 changes from the weekend. Yes, they had Alisson and Mane and Salah, but they would have looked at that Liverpool 11 and really thought, OK, this is a big opportunity. And when Tomori bundled home that opening goal, this stadium erupted, Rob. They were talking about this being the biggest night at San Siro on the European stage since 2014, and it felt like it. Unfortunately, I think the key moment was how long could they keep that lead, and it was only 7 minutes before Mo Salah finished fantastically. I'm not sure there are many players in the world right now that would have finished the chance that Salah had after the rebound from Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's shot. But from that moment on, from the moment Salah scored, Milan never really threatened a comeback.
Salah's 20th goal of the season. So 1-1 at halftime in Milan, goalless at the break in Portugal. And Richard, as you mentioned, not a great deal had actually happened in the game, but it really sprung to life when Anton Griezmann was almost inexplicably completely unmarked to the back post from a corner.
Yeah, and then from that moment on, the game was just pulsating and didn't stop producing dramatic moments and talking points. And can I just say at this point that I personally didn't see this coming from Atletico Madrid, having seen them over the last month. Diego Simeone had said in the press conference in the build-up to this game that he totally trusts his team. He knows their character. And I think this brought out the best in the mentality from Atletico Madrid. Their backs were up against the wall. They were potentially seen as underdogs. And we saw the Atletico Madrid spirit of old come to the fore, fighting and then finding the killer moments as well to kill the game too. And it was great to see. And it was such entertainment. I really enjoyed it.
I agree. You know, they needed a big, big performance, and we've seen that tonight. I think, looking at FC Porto, I think they got the small details wrong, like a set piece. They switched off at the set piece for the first goal, which ended up being the undoing of them. Tarami was in a lot of space, had a lot of opportunities to punish them, but the shots were straight at the keeper. They were saves that you'd expect Oblak to make. So at the end of the day, I think Atletico Madrid in the second half, they got the game plan spot on.
Yeah, and there were some warnings, wasn't there, for that second counter-attacking goal as well. We saw Cunha bursting through the middle, and it was only Pepe off the line that stopped them going 2-0 up. And then they got, obviously, more opportunities, I suppose, the more that Porto felt they had to push forward. And then, you know, you've got to credit Angel Correa. I mean, 50th UEFA Champions League appearance. He'd only scored one goal before tonight, but how cool was he? Because that was the goal that pretty much meant it was game over.
Absolutely. It was a fantastic finish. And he had a lot of work to do, as we said. He had the defenders breathing down his neck. He got his head up. He saw the space. He was composed, and he composed when it mattered most.
I just wonder, Rob, listening there, about the big match experience, whether perhaps that was the key. It was always going to be 1-3 tonight. Atleti with a lot of players who have been there and done it in the UEFA Champions League. And certainly from a Milan perspective, having gone 2-1 down, they never quite believed, I don't think. They are a storied club, of course. They've won it 7 times. But that is the Milan of old. They're actually a relatively new generation of players on Europe's top table. I think they will learn a lot from this season and from this match. But perhaps where Atleti had that experience and know-how, I think Milan haven't quite got it yet in the Champions League, and that might have been the difference.
Jenna, we hear this a lot, you know, about Champions League experience, knowing about having that tournament now, is how to get through games. As a former player, do you believe that's a real thing, that Atletico would go into the closing stages of a match like they did at the Dragão and go, we know exactly how to handle this, despite the fact that, you know, Carrasco got himself needlessly sent off and put their position in a bit of jeopardy?
Yeah, I think, you know, you can't buy that experience. You know, you have big game players for big moments and they step up and they make it count. And we've seen that tonight. That was the difference. I think the Griezmann's performance, second half performance, he stepped up. He was a leader out there. He took it. He wasn't getting off that pitch as a loser tonight. And that was infectious throughout the whole team. I think as the game went on, you know, and FC Porto were fighting to get back in it, the spaces were opening and then they punished them.
Yeah, Griezmann, as Jenna was saying, was key, and his experience certainly shone through in that second half. I've got a quote from him from his post-match interview, and it's about looking forward as well as back too. He said, hopefully we can have a good campaign in this UEFA Champions League. We're a group, and we need everyone to get as far as we want to go. We don't ever stop believing. There'll be good and bad moments, but in the bad, and of course referring to what they've been through in the last few weeks, but in the bad, he says, we need our fans, and they are always here. And there was a pocket of fans in the Estadio Dragão tonight, and they certainly enjoyed that second half and what they saw. It was some lovely moments for them, and Griezmann certainly played his part amongst it.
Atletico had lost three Champions League games in a row going into this one, but they pull out a mighty performance to find themselves into the round of 16. From a Liverpool point of view tonight, Chris, you know, lots of changes, but from that group, it's hard to believe they've won all six games.
They really are a winning machine, aren't they? And there were some real notable performances. I thought Neco Williams was absolutely outstanding at right back. Young Tyler Morton, making his second Champions League start in central midfield, was had definitely the equal, if not the better, of someone like Sandro Tonali and Frank Kessie, who have, you know, both been around for a relatively long time and played in some big matches. So I think Jurgen Klopp will be very proud, actually, of his youngsters, and he will also know how important Mo Salah was again today. The equalising goal, Rob, in commentary, I sort of just expected him to score it, but actually, the more you watch it, there's a fizzing shot from Oxlade-Chamberlain, which is beaten away by the goalkeeper. It comes back to him really quickly, and I think a lot of players either try and take a touch or miss the target, but not Salah at the moment. He just beautifully struck it into the roof of the net, and he is 20 goals already this season. He's scored in seven straight Champions League away matches, and if you have him in your team on the pitch, I think you have a chance to win any game the way he's playing. And for Liverpool to win 6 out of 6 in this section, as you mentioned, is a terrific achievement.
And not a bad week for, or a few days anyway, for Divock Origi, no, who had been so peripheral for Liverpool this season, really.
Yeah, and you know, Jurgen Klopp said at the weekend, people will write a book on him whenever he does leave Liverpool. And clearly when he came off, the admiration from Klopp to Origi, but actually the love back was very obvious to see. They were both shared a big hug. Really good finish. Another shot which was saved. And then the header from Origi was not easy, but he finished it superbly. It's his first Champions League goal since that goal in the final against Tottenham a couple of years ago. And just proving again that if Roberto Firmino is not available and if Diogo Jota is not available, then Liverpool do have a third player who can play that central role in the front three, because Divock Origi was excellent once more.
Yeah, first goal in 15 Champions League appearances specifically. A final one to you, Richard. We did see Luis Suarez go off injured in the first half. I just wondered if it crossed his mind, because his contract expires at the end of this season with Atletico, whether there was the possibility that was going to be his last ever few minutes as a Champions League player, a man who's performed so admirably and won this competition before, but he lives to tell another tale.
Yeah, you're right, because he was very emotional as well in his reaction when he went to the bench. But I do notice the injury can't have been that bad, because when they scored the goals, he was amongst those celebrating by the corner flag. I don't know if the injury disappeared or he hobbled up there. I obviously wasn't keeping an eye on him, but I did see him amongst those celebrating.
Rob, just interesting you mentioned that. Zlatan Ibrahimovic might be another in that conversation, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, out of Europe altogether tonight. His contract is out this summer. He's 40 now. Let's hope that's not the last we've seen of him, because Milan are very well positioned to win the league, let alone be back in the Champions League next season. But probably talking about one of the best players never to have won this competition. And I hope from a footballing point of view that tonight is not the last time we see Zlatan in the Champions League.
OK, let's go to another group then in the Champions League tonight. Group D, where Real Madrid won their section. They just needed to avoid defeat to Inter, who had already qualified as well, to guarantee top spot in Group D. We heard from Joe Walker earlier on the show about how desperately Carlo Ancelotti wanted to wrap up top spot for a more favourable potential round of 16 draw, and they did it. Toni Kroos with a long-range belter gave Inter the lead. Barella got himself sent off for Inter in the second half after lashing out at Eder Militao. Inter down to 10, one down, and then Asensio with an unbelievable goal, right side of the penalty area, edge of the box, pulled it onto his left foot and wrapped it round it, hit the inside of the post, bounced right across the goal line into the other side of the net. A wonderful strike to wrap up a 2-0 win for Real Madrid. But let's hear from the Inter camp now, their right wing back, Denzel Dumfries.
A few good chances. Unfortunately, we didn't score the goal. After we came with 10 men, and then it's difficult to extend the score. Yeah, a lot of confidence because we are in a good way. I think together we grow as a team, and everyone is important. And I think that we can see that we are growing. Of course, tonight is a defeat, but we are in a good way, and we don't get confused about the defeat today.
Well, Milan out, Inter were already through, but they'll just now be thinking about the round of 16, Chris. City rivals of the Rossoneri can look forward to knockout football.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that neither of the great Milan clubs were in the Champions League, including in the season, Rob, when San Siro hosted the final back in 2016, which was a real blow to Italian football. But the celebrations when they did go through a couple of weeks ago, I think, told the story, really. And I think, they'll be disappointed to have lost a game at the Bernabeu, but there are definitely a team with Edin Dzeko playing as well as he is up front that will really believe, if they get a nice tie in the last 16, that this could be a very good season. It's been a long, long time since Inter have been in the first knockout round, and they'll head there not just to make up the numbers.
So this is how the group finished. Real Madrid top, 15 points, 5 wins from 6. Inter 10 points through in second. Sheriff finished with 7 points. They were headed for a defeat at Shakhtar Donetsk, out of Europe completely. One up Shakhtar into the closing moments, but in the third minute of added time, Boban Nikolov from close range struck the equaliser. Wild celebrations for the Moldovan champions. They were already through to the Europa League playoff round, effectively for the round of 16, but a fine way to finish. 7 points, Shakhtar finishing on 2. Okay, so that's 2 groups down, 2 still to go.
Celebrate 30 seasons of that UCL feeling by picking the ultimate moment in UEFA Champions League history. It's up to you to decide whether it's the greatest goal, the best save, or even the most phenomenal piece of skill. The top 2 in each category go through to a knockout vote in the new year. You could win tickets for the final in May, as well as other amazing prizes.
Well, you heard it there, the UCL Feeling campaign celebrate 30 seasons of the UEFA Champions League. This week's theme is comebacks, so we're looking at some of the best comebacks in Champions League history. The miracle of Istanbul, Manchester United winning at the Camp Nou against Bayern, loads of games like that. Get your votes in now. Okay, but back to match day 6. Group A next, where RB Leipzig hosted Manchester City, hoping to seal third spot and therefore a Europa League place.
Lima will play through here to Boslay. He's in on goal and takes it around Stefan. Wonderfully done. Leipzig have the first goal of the game. That is a terrific finish. Real composure here to take it beyond the Manchester City keeper. And Leipzig have the lead.
Sensational finish. Szoboszlai, we know, such a technically gifted player. He's just straight between two City defenders. He's onside. He's timed the run perfectly.
Now they're under pressure. Forsberg racing forwards here on Kunku, calling for it. Andre Silva has it. Oh, and rifles that one into the corner. Wonderful finish from the Portuguese. Zinchenko looking to do something here, perhaps. Whips the ball in. Really good delivery. And this time Manchester City do have one back. We had Mahrez, who's been excellent in the UEFA Champions League, flying in at the back post and getting to the pitch of that well to nod into the corner and beat Golacci.
This is an unbelievable cross from Zinchenko.
That is it. It is Leipzig with a good win over Manchester City. Full time here, Leipzig 2, Manchester City 1.
Well, Manchester City finished the game with 10 men as well after the late red card for Kyle Walker, which means a suspension, of course, for him in the round of 16. But City already knew they had won the group going into tonight. Dan Roebuck and European football expert Kevin Hatchard were the commentators for that one. And after the match, they gave us their thoughts.
Leipzig are through to the Europa League playoff round in the spring after a really good and entertaining win over Manchester City. Leipzig have been entertaining over the course of the group stages. Their performances have been a bit chaotic and they've been beaten on a number of occasions. That's why they weren't in the mix to go through to the round of 16 of the UEFA Champions League. But having switched coaches at the weekend, their interim boss Akin Berlotsa came in and the players responded on the pitch. Szoboszlai and Silva with the goals. Mahrez got one back for Manchester City before Walker was sent off late on. But a real positive display, and this will help them at home and abroad, you suggest, you would think, Kev, for Leipzig for the remainder of the season.
I think it's a hugely important night for Leipzig because they played with a lot more stability, played in that 4-2-3-1, and the players look comfortable. And they played a very smart game. They didn't just press City relentlessly the whole way through. They sat off at times and they waited for City to make errors. Both of the goals are beautifully taken. The first from Szoboszlai around the goalkeeper. The second, Andre Silva with a super low finish into the corner. But they both came from City mistakes. The first is Nathan Ake comes out, heads the ball clear, and the City back four isn't sorted at all. And then when Lime is able to play just a straight ball through the middle, they ragged, and that allows Szoboszlai to score. And the second one is a loose pass from Stones towards Fernandinho, picked off by Forsberg, and that's what sets off the chain reaction and Silva with the finish. So part of it was City being sloppy, and I don't think we'll see that very often in the Champions League this season. But part of it was Leipzig playing much, much better, growing in confidence as the game went on, and defensively looking much more stable.
Well, Manchester City will rightly still be one of the favourites for the UEFA Champions League this season. They have won their group, don't forget. But they've been beaten by Leipzig side that, you never know, could be up for Europa League glory. They will certainly have some say in silverware in that particular competition. Hugely entertaining game. Leipzig coming out on top by 2-1.
Dan Roebuck and Kevin Hatchard, they're our commentary team for RB Leipzig 2, Manchester City 1. Konrad Laimer was the UEFA player of the match. But let's get the thoughts of City boss Pep Guardiola.
Congratulations, Leipzig. The first half was a little bit sloppy. And the second half was much, much better. In the final third, we were not, you know, so creative or so decisive in that position. They defend well, but yeah, in general, especially second half, we make a good game. We know for a long time ago, Leipzig is a top club. It's competing with always up there. So Bayern Munich is all the time winning, but always with is alongside Dortmund and the other team. So we know the quality of them. So that's why we know which group we face. And yeah, we did a good game, a good group stage.
Despite the defeat, City had already won the group and they're top of the Premier League as well. Things going very nicely for Pep Guardiola. Kevin De Bruyne back in the starting 11 after a bout of COVID-19 as well. But for Leipzig, after dismissing head coach Jesse Marsch after the weekend's loss to Union Berlin, not a bad way to start for interim boss Akin Bayerlotzer getting the victory. The other game in the group saw Paris Saint-Germain beat Club Brugge by 4-1. Kylian Mbappe scored twice in the opening 7 minutes. His second goal, a cracking first-time volley after a ball scooped into the box by Di Maria. Mbappe also made the third for Messi with a sensational run down the left. He dropped the ball into the middle of the pitch. Messi picked it up, edge of the box, curled it into the corner. Mats Ritz pulled one back for Club Brugge, who knew going into this one they had a chance of Europa League football, but they had to get something. And then Messi from the penalty spot wrapped up the win for 4-1 with about 14 minutes to play. Let's hear from Paris Saint-Germain head coach Mauricio Pochettino.
I am happy, of course, with the performance. I am very pleased for the player. Great effort. Yes, I think it's a small step for us to improve. We were talking about to improve our game, and we are improving our game. That is important. Very pleased today with the performance. I think we have amazing player. Kylian is an amazing player. Leo, Angel, Ney, Icardi. I think we have amazing player in front. Yes, happy for the performance today. He scored twice, Leo twice. Always when your offensive player score is a very good signal for the team.
Mauricio Pochettino there, who has been under a touch of pressure, but he says, I feel good. I feel the support of the players of the club and of the structure and know what we're trying to do. He said that before the game and he gets the win tonight. Jenna, presumably you know Mauricio Pochettino. You would have come across him during your time when you were both at Spurs. It's impressive for him really to get through the group here. He needed to do that with his team top of the league as well, despite the fact there are some questions about what's happening at the moment there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're through the group, they're top of the league. At the minute, what more could you ask for? It was a great result. Messi and Mbappe on the score sheet. There were questions over how he could keep all the big names happy. You know, at the minute, they're doing the job. So, yeah, I've obviously met Poch in the past, and he's a lovely man, and he's great at what he does.
Kylian Mbappe was the UEFA player of the match. No Neymar for Paris Saint-Germain. They're hoping, after he picked up an ankle injury recently, that he will be available for the round of 16 when that gets underway in February time. OK, let's go to Group C then, where Ajax had already won the group. They took on second place Sporting and beat them by 4-2. Sebastian Allaire scoring from the penalty spot, and he's only the second player in Champions League history to score in all 6 matches of a single group stage campaign. He's in good company with Cristiano Ronaldo for 2017-18. Chris, 10 goals from Allaire in a debut Champions League campaign. I don't think many people, even Sebastian Allaire's biggest fans, could have predicted that.
Yeah, remarkable. And remember last season there was that administrative error after he signed, which banned him from playing in the Europa League, and Ajax really missed him. So terrific for him. I think Antony got another goal, the Brazilian right winger. What a left foot he has. And Ajax, like Liverpool, Rob, winning all 6 of their group games. That's pretty remarkable. But before tonight, it had only happened 6 times ever in the history of the UEFA Champions League. So for 2 clubs to do it in the space of, well, about 10 minutes at the end of the game is a remarkable stat, really. So great for Ajax, along with Liverpool, to have perfect group stage records.
OK, and the other game in Group C saw Borussia Dortmund. They knew they would finish third in the group after losing to Sporting on match day 5. But they beat Besiktas 5-0 in Germany on Tuesday. 2 goals for Marco Reus, one of them a penalty after Daniel Marlon's opener before the half hour. And then Erling Haaland didn't even start, the game came on, and got himself a couple of headed goals to make it 5-0. So Dortmund now march on in the Europa League, looking to win that competition for the first time. Besiktas go out of Europe. Jude Bellingham was the UEFA player of the match, involved in more goal has more goal involvements than any other teenager in the Champions League this season. 1 goal and 3 assists. But let's turn our attention back to Liverpool's win at Milan and hear from their manager, Jurgen Klopp.
What the boys did tonight, I couldn't be more proud, to be honest. It was an incredible game. I'm so happy about so many things I saw tonight. And of course, in the end, that we won the game is great as well. But the performance was absolutely outstanding. Playing this game tonight, having 21 shots, not 21 on target, but 21 times we finished the situation off. So many situations where we played outstandingly well and defended with passion and good organization and so many good things I saw tonight. Really happy.
Jurgen Klopp, a very happy man there, as Liverpool get their 6th win from 6 in the group stage. And a reminder that the round of 16 draw, which Liverpool will be in as a seeded team, takes place at UEFA headquarters in Neon, Switzerland on Monday the 13th of December. The ceremony begins at 12 o'clock Central European time, so make sure to tune into that on UEFA.com. Let's get players of the night, starting with you, Richard Kaufman.
Yeah, I'm going to say Antoine Griezmann, although my most memorable thing for the night is never write off a Diego Simeone team.
For me, I have to agree, it's going to be Griezmann as well. I think his second half performance was fantastic and it changed the game.
And from a Liverpool perspective, Rob, you could have picked any of the 11 that started, but I'm going to go with Mo Salah, 20 for the season already, and it's going to take a very good side to stop Liverpool in this season's competition.
It certainly is. Well, that's all we've got time for tonight, as Atletico sealed their place in the round of 16 after a dramatic final round of Group B fixtures. So that's 12 of the last 16 now known. Make sure you join us tomorrow evening to find out who the final 4 sides to progress will be. We have early commentary of Zenit versus Chelsea. Chelsea already through before we bring you all the action as Barcelona go to Bayern, knowing they really need a result. We'll have updates from the other game between Atalanta and Villarreal, a straight shootout for the knockouts. And remember to download our podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite provider. But for me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.